Amen, amen. Well, when we think of Father's Day, usually we think of Father as the one that leads us, or at least we hope that we have a Father that leads us. Many times we look at families throughout our nation and throughout our world, and many times we use that as a parameter. We can tell the downfall of the family, and we can tell the direction of even children when there is no father in the home. We see that there is a much higher likelihood of delinquency and troubles because there's just something about this expectation of having a father that will give directions, that will give stability and lead the home. And we thank God that it's not just father, that we do have mothers that have taken that role. We have great mothers. And I know for the first half of my life, I was raised by a single mom. But I did have a grandfather also. But we've been looking at this, and I want to talk about that. Is it our father that we need to lead us? What are we looking for to lead us? We've been talking about this subject, the guide to predicting your future, because the Bible tells us that we can predict our future. We can see where we are heading, and we can actually manipulate that. And we've looked at the one thing that has told us, and it is this principle of the path, that in looking forward and in deciding where we want to end up, there is a way that not only can we predict our future, but we can make it come true. And I think that's what most of us want. We all have an idea of where we want to end up. Well, there's a way to get there. And there's a way that right now you can tell if you're in the right way, whether you are making it or not. And it's the principle of the path. And we looked at this, that the principle of the path is this statement that the Bible teaches us. And it is that direction determines destination. It is a straight correlation. The direction you take determines your destination. It's not that complicated. How many know that it's the same geographically? It's the same when you go on a trip. If you head west on Interstate 8, you're going to hit the beach. It's just that direction determines your destination. There's no way around it. But we went a little bit further. Last time we spoke on this with the graduates, and that we need to understand that it is direction, not intention, that determines our destination. We have to add that because many times we forget and we think that if I just intend to get there, that I will get there. And we looked at it, that is not always the case. It is the direction that you are actively following that will get there, not your intention. You can have the greatest intention. Yeah, I want to get there. But if you're not on that path, no matter how much you want it, no matter how much you think about it, no matter how much you say it, that's not going to determine your destination. Your direction is going to determine your destination. By direction, I mean your choices that you make. I mean the thoughts that you are thinking. I mean the behavior that you are acting out, the priorities that you are truly putting, not what you say your priorities are, but what your actual priorities. See, direction is not what you say you're doing, but what you are actually doing, what you are actually choosing to do, what you are actually doing with your money, with your time, with your words, with your thoughts. This is the direction that you are taking, and direction, not intention, will determine your destination. There's going to be a lot of people, Jesus said, on that last day that stand before him and said, Lord, Lord, we've done all these things for you. We have believed in you. Our intention has been to lift you up. And what is he going to say? He's going to say, depart from me, because I never knew you. You may have intended it. You may have thought it. You may have said it. You may have portrayed it on the outside, but that was not your direction. And you chose a direction that did not end up where you wanted to be. And we talked about that a lot of people end up places and they look around and it's like, how did I get here? When if they would have stopped, they could have seen and they would not have been surprised, because other people can see. How many know we look at other people and say, I could have told you you were going to end up there, right? We can all see that by the choices that people make. And yet many times we're not seeing that in ourselves. And so we need to begin to look at ourselves and stop being surprised when our life ends up in a destination that we didn't want, because we should have known that, because you were on that direction. Direction, not intention, determines destination. Well, today we're going to look at that word direction. And as I mentioned, there are going to be times in your life that all of us have said this phrase. And if not, we will say it at some point in time. I would have never made it here if it wasn't for you. Have you ever been on a trip and someone has said, you know what, it's hard for me to give directions. I'm just going to come and meet you, and then you follow me, and we'll get there. And you go through the twists and turns, and you're like, wow, you know what? I would have never made it there if it wasn't for them. Maybe it's your GPS on your phone, and you look at it and you say, after you get there, man, I would have never got there without that GPS, because I needed something to follow. Sometimes people can give you direction. You remember back in the old days? Back in the old days, before the phones and everything, you know, someone said, tell me how to get to that I've always wanted that restaurant, and I want to go there in San Diego or in LA. Tell me how to get there. And they'll give you all the, remember back in the old days, you had to write down the directions. Okay, go down the 605 and take this off ramp, and you know, and then twists and turn, and it was like, oh man. And you always got lost, because it was, but you needed, when you had someone that would say, okay, just follow me. How many know that? It's like, man, that made all the difference. Now with GPS, it makes all the difference. Because we, many times, no matter what directions we have been given directions, it seems like we can't follow them on our own. It's so much easier to just follow someone. And I think today, this is what Jesus wants to tell us. You need to follow me. It's not about just doing do's and don'ts. It's not about just checking off boxes that, okay, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. It's about following him. It's about saying, God, I'm going to stop trying my own way. I'm going to stop trying to figure out these directions on my own. And I just need to follow you. I need to go where you go without questioning and just stay right behind you. You see, as a father, people are following us. And whether we're a father or not, even as a mother, as a friend, as a teenager, there are people following you. But here's the question, who are you following? Because we are going to lead people to a destination that may not be where they want to be, let alone where we want to be. And so the question is, who are we following? Because that's going to make all the difference in our destination. So I want to look at a story in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And you might say that this is a simple lesson that we all know, that yes, we should follow Jesus. But yet, here's the point today. I'm not just speaking to people who do not believe in Jesus. I think many of us say that we're following Jesus, but I don't think we're following the Jesus who we think we're following. And I'll explain that as we get going. But I think most of us here in this room or listening, many of us think we're following Jesus. And many people in this story were following Jesus, but they weren't really following Jesus. You see, we can follow Jesus, but we are really just admirers. We're really just kind of fans, but we are truly not disciples. We are not following Jesus with our true direction of our life. And that's going to make the difference. And so today, I'm going to encourage you to look at yourself and make a hard decision. Am I following Jesus? And I mean the Jesus, not an idea of who Jesus is, not a religious format of Jesus, but am I following the heart of Jesus, the true Savior, the Lord, and His words? So let's pick up the story. Now, in John chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 25, but let me give you a little bit of a context of when this took place. Jesus had just finished a 5K. You didn't know Jesus? You don't remember Jesus' 5K? He had just fed 5,000. That was his 5K that Jesus did. He had multiplied the bread and fed them. And then after that, he wrapped it up. He did his little cool down. He did his cool down by walking across the lake. It's a cool down. Walking on water, making it to the other side. That's a shortcut no one else could make. But the rest of the crowd the next day woke up and Jesus wasn't there. And they finally figured out that he was on the other side. And so, of course, they made the trip to get to Jesus again. And in verse 25, this is what it says. It says, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?'" Now, let me tell you what they're really saying. First of all, I want you to get this key word. What they called him is Rabbi. Which is teacher, because that's what they saw him. I mean, he did great things, but, and this is a big difference, I don't think they really knew him as who he was, but he was Rabbi. And I love this, that they come to him, and it's kind of like us when we bring our requests to God. We get the small talk out of the way, right? Jesus, thank you for this day. We appreciate your blessings. You know, that's just small talk, because what we're really saying is, okay, now this is what I want. So they're like, Rabbi, when did you get here? They don't care how he got there. They don't care. This is just like small talk, getting ready. And here's where they really wanted. And Jesus knew what they really wanted. They didn't want to know how he got there or when they got here. So Jesus answered them and said this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs. You're not worried about where I am or what I'm doing or just to see me again because it was so wonderful. You seek me, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." You see, he saw that they weren't really following him. They were following what he could give them. He said, "You're not really following the signs." And we're going to get to that word, the signs. Everything that Jesus did was a sign. And see, we miss that. We think that what Jesus did was substance. You know, healing, when he healed the blind, when he healed the lepers. What was that? That was a gift of healing. No, it wasn't. It was a sign. It was Jesus. Jesus didn't go around just doing random miracles. Okay, you know what? Today we're just going to, everyone that has a problem with your legs, come on up. Let's just touch legs today. You know, that's not how Jesus was working. Everything he did was purposeful and had a meaning. It was a sign. Jesus said, "You're not following me. You're not seeing the signs. You see, I'm trying to lead you to a different place. I'm not doing it just so that you can get the healing." See, we just want the healing. I just want the healing, and then we miss the sign. We miss what God is leading us to, and we just embrace the things. And they just loved the food that he gave them. And this is what he tells them. He says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." He said, "I came here not just to give you healing," because how many know you're going to break down again? I can heal you right now, but you're going to get sick again. This is something that perishes. I can multiply this bread, and you had a great meal, and you had bread and fish. Wasn't that awesome? That was cool. But you're going to be hungry again tomorrow. So what have I done for you? And yet, you are working just to get these things. And he says, "You don't understand. I did those things so that you would see the sign that I want to give you something that will not perish. See, I'm doing those things so that you will recognize that I'm the one that you could follow. See, I'm trying to get you to believe in me, not so that you can get more healings and more miracles and more, but so that you will truly understand who I am. Those are signs to open your mind to who I am, because I am the one that the Father has sent, and I will give you everlasting life." You see, there's a destination that I want for you that is beyond the next meal. So you need to begin to ask yourself, what are you really following? What are you seeking me for? So he says, you know what, there's these things. I want to give you everlasting life. I want to give you something that's going to last longer than just the healing and the bread and the fish. And so this is their response. They don't get it. How many know they're just like us? So don't make fun of them, because we do the same thing. So they said to him, "Then what shall we do that we may work the works of God?" See, again, now they're saying, okay, if you've got these better things to give us, then show us how we can do it. See, then we don't need you there with us all the time. So you're going to show us how we can do it, and it'll last forever. Show us how we can do the same trick. Those were good tricks, Jesus. Man, I loved how you did that. Show us how we, then we can do that. That would be neat. And again, Jesus answered and said to them, okay, this is the work of God. You want to do those same things? You want to have these things that you can have them all the time? Here's the work of God, that you would believe in him whom he sent. Here's the trick, believe in me. Now, what does it mean to believe in him? It's not just to believe in him in our head, to acknowledge him. That's where many times we take it when he says that. When he says, believe in me, here's the work that you can do. You got to come to the place that you trust me as the one that you can follow. Because how many know you're not going to follow someone you don't really trust? Or as soon as they make a turn, here's what we do. Ooh, I don't think that turn looked like the right place. I know I'm following him, but you know, have you ever done this? You're following someone and they do something like, I think I'll just go around here, and I think this is a faster way, and I'll catch up with him. Why do we do that? Because we didn't really trust the person we're following. Jesus said, here's the work. If you're really going to follow, you got to start here first. You got to totally trust me. You got to trust me. You need to believe in me beyond the shadow of a doubt. That's the only way you can follow me. Because many of you are following me, but as soon as I take a different turn, you don't really trust me, and so you go your own way. And isn't that what we do with Jesus? Oh, Jesus, I'm following you. Until Jesus does something, we're like, Jesus, that's not really the way. That seems a little sketchy, Jesus. When you want me to do that? Well, let me just do this and we'll catch up with you, right? But Jesus said, if you want to work the work of my Father, you've got to believe in me. You got to trust me. You need to let me truly be the one that you're following. And I mean with your money. I mean with your time. I mean with your thoughts. I mean with your dreams. I mean with your priorities. You see, when I say follow, it is a true surrender. But it's not a losing of those things. It is letting the person who does better with them than you anyway take care of them. He does not want to make life easier or better. He doesn't want to make life better. He wants to make you better at life. See, many times we just want him to make life better. He says, but that's not, I want to make you better at life. That means it might be hard, but you'll be better at it because when you follow me. So he says, this is the work of God, that you believe in me whom he sent. So here's their response again. Therefore, they said to him, okay, if you want us to believe in you, then I think maybe you need to give us a sign. Oh, my Lord, what has he not been giving the whole time? He has already healed so many people. He said, and so they're like, so what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe in you? What work will you do? And yet we do the same thing. How much has God done for us and we still want him to do something else for us? God, you need to show me. He's saying, what else do you want me to do? We, so many times we want God to give us a sign, or he wants to give us a neon light or something, and he has already given us his word. He has given us his spirit. But not only do they ask for a sign, but you can see something, oh, here's a good one. They don't even wait for him to answer it. They said, this is what we want you to do. We need you to do this. And this kind of correlates to what he just did. But he says, they said, our fathers, they ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're saying, yeah, you know what, God, that last thing that you did, that was pretty good. You multiplied the bread and the fish. But how about you do something even better? How about you just make the bread just rain from heaven? Just let it show up in the morning every day. That would be a sign, and then we'll believe in you. In other words, what they're saying is, give us what we want, and we'll believe in you. I'll follow you if you spoil me, if you give me everything when I want it, how I want it, what I want. How about you do that, and then I'll believe in you. Now, we don't like to say that out loud, but let's be honest, that's what we're doing. God, if you'll answer my prayer, then I'll follow you. Because when you don't answer, I don't know if I can just believe in you anymore, Jesus. Because you know what? You didn't help me out on the job. You didn't give me that promotion. You didn't open this door for me. They have missed the sign. So Jesus, being so patient, this is one thing, Jesus, I could not have done it. I don't know if you could have done it. He was so loving with them. So he says, I can just see his eyes rolling up in his head. But Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, first of all, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. You do understand that. Moses didn't give you that bread. It was God. My Father is the one who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Because you see, what Jesus is saying, it says, you're not even understanding what Moses did. That was a sign also. It wasn't just the bread, was not just to give them bread to eat. That's all they saw it as. And many times, all we see what God does is just what it does for me. And we're missing the sign. He said, you missed the sign. The manna was not just to feed them. The manna was to give them a sign that everything you need for life is going to come from God. That's what he was trying to tell them, that there's going to be something that comes from heaven that will give you life, because bread is what sustains us. Bread was a symbol of that which keeps us alive. But it was a sign that God was going to provide something that would do more than give us physical life, but would give us spiritual life and relational life and joy in life and meaning in life and purpose in life. And just like the manna came down from heaven, God was going to give the bread of life that would come down from heaven and would provide for us true life within us. And it was Jesus. And he says, you see, the bread that gives life is he who comes from heaven. In other words, it's me. I am the manna. The signs were pointing to me. The things that I've done have pointed to me. I'm trying to show you that I am the bread of life. This is their response. Again, then they said to him, oh, Lord, then give us that bread. We want it always. Spoil us. Just be the bread of life. Again, they could not get their mind off the physical things that they wanted. The pleasure, the desires of their life, everything rotated around what they could experience and enjoy in this life. Give it to us all the time. We just want what we want. And Jesus said to them, now he's going to just tell them straight out, okay, you're not understanding. I am the bread of life. I'm not talking about manna. I'm not talking about more actual food. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You see, he's trying to get them that you need someone to follow to make it to life. Life is not made up of your next meal, of your next fun experience, of making more money. And you see, we have an idea that that's the destination that we want to get to. And so we are following the desires of our heart when we should be following the one who comes from God to give us life. And even though we are following Jesus, we are still seeking more for what he can do for us rather than who he is. Later on, down in the story, in verse 48, again, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and now they're dead. So in other words, he's saying, okay, let's cut to the chase. You understand, even if I give you food, you're going to eat it, but someday you're still going to die. I can give that bread to you all the time like you want. But what's it really going to accomplish? What are you really wanting? And I think this is what he's trying to break through our desires and how we see life. He's saying, what do you really want in life? You think you want these things, but is that really what you want? Because you understand that that's not going to get you anywhere. Once it's gone, it's gone. When you die, you die. You're going to get old. You can't do these things. Many times it's, I want to be able to do these activities. But he says, but then once you do it, it's a memory and it's gone. And then you get old and you can't even do it anymore. So what good? I want to give you something that's beyond that. You see, they ate the manna in the wilderness and now they're dead. But this, what he is promising them, this is bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat and not die. There's something that you can consume, that you can eat, and by eating he means make it the focus of your life. He says, I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He's saying, okay, if you want to eat of anything that gives you life, I'm the one that you need to eat that will give you life. And this just threw them off. You know, hey, now, we are not eating your flesh. I don't want that bread. And he goes on and even he said that my blood, if you drink my blood, it is given for you to have life. And again, they didn't, it's not literally. See, they didn't understand. He kept trying to tell them, I want to give you eternal life, not physical life. And so I'm his body and his blood was something that he was just trying to show them that you can understand that like bread that gives you life and energy, I will give you true life and energy when you abide in me, when you believe in me, when you follow me. That is like eating me, and I will give my body so that you might have life. Now, again, it was a sign that was pointing forward to what he was going to do, that he was going to die on the cross. And of course, now we see the sign, and we realize, but they could not look forward. They did not see the signs. The only sign they saw was the McDonald's sign on the side of the road. Oh, yeah, that's what we want. When he was trying to say, no, look at this sign, which is a direction to get you someplace. Instead of looking for pit stops, you need to keep your eye on the destination. Well, this just, you know, they wanted what they wanted. And they couldn't understand this. And it says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? In other words, that's not what we want. Jesus, we were following you because we thought you were going to provide for us. You know, this eating your body and drinking your blood and looking to you, how is that going to feed us today? Again, they were still focused on what they wanted today. And they began to say, I don't know about this. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Because many times when God doesn't do what we want him to do, we get offended. God, you're supposed to be leading me, and this is not where I wanted you to take me. And we forget that we need to follow him not because we need someone to take us where we want to go. We need to follow him because we are lost and he's the one that knows how to get where we need to go. And so they were offended that he wouldn't do what they asked him to do. Look, we've asked you for a sign. Are you going to give us a sign or not? And all you've done is talk about eating your body and drinking your blood. That's not the sign we want. And how many times we do the same thing? Maybe we've prayed and prayed and God has not answered our prayer. And the direction of our life has not gone the way we went. We're like, God, we get offended at God. We begin to question God. God, why am I following you if you're not going to give me what I want? And he's saying, here's the reason why. Because what you want is what got you lost in the first place. Maybe you want to follow me because I will take you to the destination of life. So from that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They just stopped following him. And Jesus turned to the 12. Now, you know, the reason he asked this question is because he knew that they thought the same thing. Jesus, can't you just tell the stories about Jesus, just tell the stories about the guy that got beaten up and the person helped him. They kind of like that story. Or tell the stories about the lost sheep and the shepherd that goes and finds them. Let's just get back to those. You're kind of getting into areas that, why you have to shake the boat? But he says to them, do you want to go also? Put them right on the spot. And you know, they probably wanted to just do kind of like the old, oh, and kind of just slip back into the crowd themselves, right? You know, oh, yeah, we believe in you, Jesus, but this is a little bit harder than what we wanted. And many times following Jesus gets harder than what we thought we were signing up for. but Simon Peter. Simon Peter answered, and this is what we pray that God would open our hearts to. Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom will we go? For you have the words of eternal life." You see, here's what he realized. Jesus, you're not giving us really what we want. But who else does? You know, even if we go another route, maybe if we follow someone else, we might get what we want for a short time, but we've seen where that leads. And I see people that don't follow the Lord that have lives that are just as messed up. So Jesus, if following you seems messed up right now, how is that any different from the other people that are messed up, even though they got what they wanted for a short time? At least you have words of life. You have the promise of a future and a hope. He saw that, Jesus, you're someone I can follow. And see, at some point, we have to come to that point of belief. Because before you can follow them, do you believe in him? And Peter said, "Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Do you really believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Or are many of us still coming to him like the people did? "Hey, Rabbi." You see, if he's just rabbi to you, if he's just a good teacher, if he's just a good example of life, then I'm going to tell you, you're never going to follow him to the destination. But today, can we be like Peter, that even though some of the words of Jesus are hard, even though some of the turns that he takes may not look to be right, are you willing to say, "I believe that, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of living God, that I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, and so I'm going to follow you." And I'm going to tell you, if you want to predict your future, it's direction, not intention, that's going to determine that. And here's the direction. It's the direction of Jesus. Are you truly going the direction of Jesus? Are you like the crowd, that you're following the Jesus that does cool things? Are you following the Jesus that has been with you when you wanted something? Or are you following the Jesus that says hard things like, "You need to eat my flesh, you need to drink my blood, you need to," what he's really saying is, you need to abide in me, you need to trust me, you need to let my life be your life. But that means a hard life. But I trust that that life is going to get me someplace that these other people are going to wish that they were at. Are you willing to take up the direction of Jesus? Are you willing to let him truly be your leader, no matter what turns he takes? No matter what time it's not convenient for you? No matter when it means that there's a cost that is something that is not comfortable, whether it's financial? "I have to give my money to these things and support these things." Are we following Jesus? Is that where Jesus' heart is? Do we not trust that he'll take care of us? "I have to give time. I got to spend time doing this. Or I got to serve other people. I got to love people that..." Who are you following? What are we looking for? I pray that we would be like Peter. Say, "Jesus, where else do I have to go?" Because there was a lot of people that could have answered Peter and said, "I'll tell you who you could. You could go to parties and friends and build relationships and put your life into these things." But you see, Jesus would say, "Yeah, there's a lot of people that have done that too, and now they're dead. So where did it get them? So where else do we have to go?" Will you follow Jesus today with all of our life? Let's bow our hearts. God, I pray for